Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
According to Rowan Atkinson, the job of comedy is to offend. Rowan Atkinson says that comedians should be allowed to make jokes about absolutely anything, as he rails against cancel culture. So he's hit back at the cancel culture environment, and he's insisted that comedians should be allowed to make jokes about absolutely anything in a free society. The Mr. Bean star said the purpose of comedy was to have the potential to offend, and he argued that humor is to make somebody look ridiculous. It's not the first time that he's spoken out against cancel culture, as he has previously campaigned against a law which could limit free speech. How do we deal with this in this age of incredible sensitivity? Professor Nyasha Mboti, Associate Professor, Head of Department of Communications and Studies at the University of the Free State. A very good morning. Thanks for joining.
Good morning, Lord.
So it's a very difficult balance, isn't it? Because, you know, there's the concept of too soon, too close, people easily offended. How do we manage in this world of increasing sensitivity to still be a little bit funny?
Very good question, Howard. I wouldn't say that the world is increasing in sensitivity. That could be possible. We haven't measured to see where people's sensitivity was in 2005, where it was in 2010, and where it is now. But I suspect that we have just remained where we were in terms of our sensibilities. I think the issue has been exacerbated by what some people call cancel culture. But I actually think this is more to do with what you could call and what I would call snitch culture. And snitch culture has been enabled by social media. Because, you know, we have our phones at the radio all the time and we're recording all the time. And so if you say something, suddenly it's trending, it's put up on social media, and now everyone has an opinion on it. And before social media, many of these jokes would circulate privately. Everyone would know about these jokes. They would even know that part of why those jokes would seem to be funny was because they were subversive. So there's a tendency now, if you look at even the whole content moderation discourse on social media, it's about if you find someone breaking rules, you know, you need to inform a moderator, you need to inform the social media company. So it depends on people telling on people. But if I'm to throw books at this problem of cancel culture and jokes, there is a Russian theorist called Mikhail Bakhtin, who writes about popular laughter, and he calls it carnival. Basically, he says the meaning of laughter is that, you know, it subverts social norms. It wouldn't be laughter if it didn't subvert social norms. So you actually speak to power by making fun of things that socially are not thought of as funny. So there's no right to offend. You just offend anyway. You don't have to be permitted to offend. So political correctness assumes that, you know, we have to be permitted to say offensive things. Then that is not really carnival laughter. That is not really subversive laughter. For laughter to be subversive, you actually have to go on and offend anyway. But because of cancel culture now, people are saying, okay, look, there's censorship out there, and so we are afraid to make offensive jokes.
We know that humor was used very successfully during the apartheid era. It was a time that we were able, that was the one medium where people could laugh a little bit at government and still get away with it. The value of humor is very, very significant. It is very powerful as a way, as you're saying, talking truth to power. It also allows us maybe to get a little bit closer to people because our defenses come down. Surely we need to be very, very protective of this magical and important area in our lives.
Yeah, It's very interesting you say that, because I have two little books that I have about Funda Meva. And Funda Meva, you know, is supposed to be this eponymous character, this bumbling Afrikaner, a farmer who lives, you know, next to his neighbor, Fandonda, sometimes. But basically, you know, the farmer Funda Meva jokes, you know, were a staple in Afrikaner society. And these are jokes that people still circulate privately. This is the interesting thing, the difference between public and private. So when I go through the Funda Meva jokes, most of them are funny jokes, harmless jokes. And of course, the interesting thing is it depends who you are, you know, whether a joke is offensive to you or not. If you go to any stand-up comedy, some jokes are funny to you, others are not. So you know, what is funny to some people may be offensive to others. That's one element. The other element is that when I also go through those former Funda Meva jokes, some of them use the K-word. Some of them are frankly racist. But then you find out that at the time when, you know, apartheid was the norm, the people used the K-word without any penalty. That is why people use the K-word without any penalties. Now, post-1994, you know, people just can't use the K-word openly. So the K-word has now returned to the private realm, you know, to bribe parties. And when people, you know, you just look around, you see, okay, these people are quote-unquote fine, and then you can say the offensive joke. But of course, if somebody records that, and then, of course, it will be known out there and you'll be in trouble. But what I wanted to do, Howard, was actually draw your attention to the case of South Africa Breweries versus a T-shirt company from Cape Town called Laugh It Off in 2005. You can look it up. It is the Black Labor White Guilt case. You know, this T-shirt company printed a joke on their T-shirt called Black Labor White Guilt. And basically, they were laughing at South Africa Breweries Black Label beer brand. And they were linking it to how South Africa Breweries have benefited from cheap black labor over many, many decades of apartheid. And South Africa Breweries took them to court, saying, no, you cannot laugh our trademark. And they actually won the case at the High Court, at the Supreme Court of Appeal, until it went to the Constitutional Court, where I remember listening to Judge Aldous Sachs talking about that case in 2012, where he said, look, what are we as a nation that doesn't laugh? You know, as a nation, we are supposed to have the capacity to laugh at ourselves, to laugh at our foibles. And so in the end, Laugh It Off Promotions won that case.
That's so interesting.
To say, look, we have to be able to laugh at our case, because if the powerful are able to censor laughter, what we would become if we're a nation that cannot laugh at itself?
That is absolutely fascinating. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 0618951019. How do we manage comedy, humor in a world where maybe it isn't about sensitivity, or maybe not about being too sensitive, but about being cognizant of people around us? 34519 or 0618951019. That was a Professor Inyasha Mboti, who is an associate professor and head of the Department of Communication Studies at the University of the Free State. And I absolutely loved the example and the case that he brought about Black Label in 2005.